Billboard music charts in the late 1960s were dominated by R&B artists like Otis Redding and the Temptations, the so-called British invasion bands like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and even the mellower singer-songwriters like Simon and Garfunkel. In that environment, not many were ready for the sounds of Led Zeppelin. Forming out of the ashes of the Yardbirds, which had featured guitarists like Eric Clapton and Jeff Beck, Led Zeppelin had two well-known session players in Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones, and a pair of relative newcomers in Robert Plant and John Bonham. It didn't take long for the group to take off and dominate radio stations and concert venues through the 1970s, until Bonham, the drummer, died in 1980. Bob Spitz covers the entire history of the band in his new book, Led Zeppelin, The Biography, and is with me to talk about it. Bob, you've written about the Beatles and now Led Zeppelin. What makes you want to dig deeply into these titans of rock and roll?
It kind of shocks me when I think that I've covered Dylan, the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, and soon the Rolling Stones, my next project. Look, these are the artists who formed not just my musical taste, but who I realized very early on when I was writing about them that I was writing about my life. They infused me with everything that I am, the culture, the musical tastes. They placed me in a world that I'm familiar with. And so the projects take, you know, in the Beatles' case, 8 years, in the Dylan's case, in Led Zeppelin's case, 5 years each. And it allows me to be in a world that I'm completely familiar with and that I can luxuriate in. So I'm ready to take them on.
How do you, and I'll compare again the Beatles with Led Zeppelin, bands that have so many stories about them, some of which are confirmed in the case of Led Zeppelin, maybe some of which are exaggerated, whatever it may be, but you've really tried to craft these into a more artistic way of telling it. It's not just telling these are the facts, this is what happened. You really melded into what was going on in society as well. Did you need to do that to actually make it feel like, you know, I'm not telling the same stories in the same way other people have about these bands?
Yeah, listen, I think that one of the mistakes that so many people make about writing about rock and roll is that they forget about cultural context. And I think you always have to place these artists in the culture that forms them. So, you know, I begin to by going to where they grew up and to give you a little sense of how they became formed human beings and what drove them into the music. And then the other thing that I try to do is to create an entertaining narrative. You know, if you're going to read a 600-page book about Led Zeppelin or a 950-page book about the Beatles, you better be intrigued. You better want to turn the next page. And so it's up to a writer to really to create a world for you to feel like they're taking you on a trip. And so I try to place you there. I try to take you into the scene, to put you in the scene, and to give you a sense of being right there with them.
These four men in Led Zeppelin, obviously form one of the most impactful bands in the world, in the history of the world. How good were they individually as musicians? I mean, were these guys who would have been successful regardless?
Yeah, I think the group made them special. But look, we're talking about musicians. Jimmy Page, you know, he really paid his dues as a session recording man. So did John Paul Jones. These two guys could walk into a session, say, with the Kinks or Tom Jones, or in Jimmy and John Paul's case, playing on Goldfinger for Shirley Bassey. They could play anything. And really, if you ask me, the bedrock, the real musician in this band was John Bonham. I mean, I put headphones on and listened to those drums. I couldn't figure out what this guy was doing. I got Carmine Appice, who was the drummer for Vanilla Fudge, to sit with me and to listen and to explain it. And Carmine would look at me going, God, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know how he plays triplets with his feet. So these guys were special. Yeah, I mean, they could really play. And And when you put them in the same room with each other, and in fact, they had, John Bonham had never met John Paul Jones when they had their first rehearsal. They were stunned. It happened right away.
Did Led Zeppelin, did the four guys and producers and the folks they work with know what the vision, quote unquote, was going to be for this band? Led Zeppelin's first album is very bluesy, and then it moves into this rock and roll that people had never heard before.
Yeah, look, Jimmy Page had a sound in his head. I'm not quite sure where it came from, but if you listen to Jeff Beck's album, Truth, that Jimmy had played on, and that's where the name comes from, Led Zeppelin. We'll get to that in a second. You hear the roots of progressive rock and roll. This was a sound in Jimmy's head, and it was only Jimmy. I mean, look, he put this band together like they put the Monkees together. You know, it was like one from column A and one from column B. These guys didn't know each other, but it was Jimmy's fantasy, Jimmy's sound. And he went out and found the three guys he felt could create that sound, not only in a live situation, but on a record. And so where the name comes from is that they were playing on the Truth album, Jeff Beck's album, which I think is one of the cornerstones of rock and roll, certainly progressive rock and roll. And let's see who was on that. Keith Moon was playing, John Entwistle was on it, Jeff Beck, Jimmy Page, John Paul Jones. And Keith Moon had said, Jimmy had said, oh, we should put a band together with all of us. And Keith Moon said, yeah, that'd go down like a Led Zeppelin. And so Jimmy just stored that in his head. When they were coming up with names for the band, he had tried a few of the others. Somebody said, oh, right, Jimmy had this name, Led Zeppelin. He went, that's it. We'll use that name. And it was brilliant. It's the ultimate sick joke, a Led Zeppelin.
How much of their true impact, and I even mean in the 70s, was because they were such an amazing live band, an amazing spectacle, and how much of it was the studio album, and how much of it was the fact that they were just like something people had never seen before?
Well, it was a little bit of everything. And I think really what did it was the shift from the end of the 60s to the beginning of the 70s. Led Zeppelin puts a period at the end of the 60s. They don't sound anything like Crosby, Stills, and Nash or Santana or of course, the Beatles or the Stones. Those were post-war bands. Now, Led Zeppelin's a post-war band too, but they're a post-Vietnam War band. And so all the aggression that came from that is in Led Zeppelin's music. And I think that's what made them such a force as a live band. When the kids heard that roar of sound cranked up to 14 on the microphones, it moved them not only spiritually, but it moved them physically as well. You could feel that music coursing through you in concert. That really, I think, launched them into the stratosphere with this new generation of young kids who were just coming of age and listening to rock and roll in a different way.
The group's name is Led Zeppelin. The new book is by Bob Spitz called Led Zeppelin, the Biography. And Bob only takes on really minor topics like the Beatles and Led Zeppelin. Bob, thanks so much for the time today. Good luck.
Steve, my pleasure. Thank you. Take care.